This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Casey Mann is the new executive director of the North Carolina Democratic Party. She's stepping into the post at a trying time. The end of the tax checkoffs for political parties has contributed to big financial struggles for the NCDP, and internal disagreements make a unified front difficult to present. So what's the future of the North Carolina Democratic Party, and how does Casey Mann plan to tackle the fundraising problems that have risen up as well? And what's the role of the state party in the age of super PACs? Casey Mann is here to answer that and more. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me today.
Laura Leslie is with us as well. Laura is WRAL's Capital Bureau Chief. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you and Michael Bitzer, who is a professor of politics and history at Catawba College and a political commentator at public radio station WFAE in Charlotte. Hello, Michael Bitzer.
Good to be here.
Casey Mann, you are the choice of party chair Randy Voller to run the party's day-to-day operations as executive director. Chairman Voller's at the center of a battle for over his activist role, speaking out in favor of generally liberal positions. A lot of conservative and incumbent Democrats want him to close his mouth and raise money and lead the speeches to them. How do you read what's happening right now?
I think that the North Carolina Democratic Party is in a situation that it has never seen before. I think that we are suffering a lot of institutional difficulties and disadvantages. I heard you earlier as you were talking about how Democrats congressionally received more votes, but we only received, you know, four seats. And so we have a lot of – and the tax checkoff money that you also mentioned, which brought in about anywhere from a half a million to $1.5 million a year, which is a huge chunk of our operating budget. And so I think all of these different factors, all of which were handed to us by the Republican Party, have – put us in a place where everyone is seeking to try to find how do we come out? How do we overcome these obstacles? And I do not think that this should be or is actually an activist versus moderate battle. I actually think that Democrats really stand for the people of North Carolina, the teachers, the workers whose pensions are disappearing, the folks who have to work two jobs and still can't afford to feed their children. I don't think the activists nor the moderate Democrats disagree with that. I think we need to find a way to come back to standing with the people, and we can move past it. That's the obstacles are that we need to do that.
Well, they may not disagree with the positions, but apparently there's disagreement over where it should come from, who should be saying it, and whether or not the party chair, Randy Voller, or anybody else should be doing it. And the proof of that concern comes from State Auditor Beth Wood, who wants her $500 campaign contribution back. She says she's lost confidence in the party's fiscal management, and Kay Hagan's campaign that partnered with Wake County Democrats rather than the state operation in the Get Out the Vote operation. Those are two kind of key Democrats who don't like what's going on.
Beth Wood, we actually invited Beth Wood about a year ago to come in to offer advice and offer suggestions to our compliance department as to how to move forward in the most accountable and transparent way. We instituted all of her recommendations and, in fact, have invested more in compliance is the fancy way of saying, you know, raise money and don't go to jail, essentially. And we have invested heavily in our compliance department. And as always, the auditor is always welcome to come and check out the procedures we have put into place to make sure, to make herself comfortable. But in terms of the Kay Hagan campaign, the Kay Hagan campaign and the North Carolina Democratic Party are working very closely. There are a lot of ways that we work together. I speak with their deputy campaign manager every day. Every day we work together. And so it's interesting to me that there is this image that there is some strife that we don't get along. Every day we have very good communications with the Kay Hagan. They are very much invested in the long-term economic stability for the North Carolina Democratic Party, just as we are incredibly invested in securing victory for Kay Hagan in 2014.
They know they're going to make headlines when they line up with Wake County rather than the state Democratic Party. People are going to ask questions. Something's going on. There is something that they chose, a reason that they chose to go with the county rather than the state.
you know, we're still working together. There are things that the state party does and the county parties do. It's not uncommon, actually, for statewide candidates to partner with both the state party and county parties. It's a very big state, and when you look at on-the-ground operations, often the county parties have a much more intimate grasp on the pulse of what is going on the ground. So it is not uncommon for federal candidates to partner with county parties.
Michael Bitzer? Go ahead, Laura, and then I'll ask Michael, but you started. Go ahead, Laura.
I was just going to say, I mean, it is, okay, it's not unheard of, but it is unusual for a coordinated campaign to bypass a state party in favor of a county party, simply because the state party usually has wider spread resources than a county party does. And for a statewide candidate, that's kind of important.
Well,
but, you know, I think it's also worthwhile pointing out that this didn't just start. That last year, Nina Schlossberg-Landis, who was the first vice chair, she also resigned from the party. And she said, out of the same concerns, that donors were not opening their checkbooks to the party. And you know, she left, obviously, been replaced by Patsy Kiever, who is now the current vice chairwoman, first vice. But, you know, I just want to point out this is not, this has been going on since 2013.
Michael Bitzer, how common is this? What kind of a precedent is this for Kay Hagan's campaign to do? What does it tell you as somebody who studies politics in the state?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to first recognize that political parties are basically coalitions. There's, of course, the national party, there are state parties, there are county parties, and there's an infrastructure within them. But for a very public and a very competitive candidate like Kay Hagan, who's going to be facing the onslaught of the money coming into the state, particularly from Republican and Republican-backed groups, to have that kind of visible signal sent that she's going to perhaps work with the state, but be more focused with Wake County Democratic Party, really sends a signal to the rest of not only the state organization, but Democrats as a whole, that perhaps there isn't that signal of confidence. Yes, they may be talking to each other between the campaign and the state organizations and the counties, and they certainly want to have that kind of infrastructure when it comes to an organization for a full-fledged campaign strategy, but it does send a troubling signal to those of us on the outside to say perhaps, you know, the relationship is not as strong as we would typically tend to see it.
Whatever the message and whatever the reasons, Casey, it has left the state party with some financial troubles, not much in the operating fund. Tell us about that, how that all came about and what you can do about it.
Well, unfortunately, donors have actually been difficult to get for many years. 2013 was not some sort of a tidewater rushing away of donors. Unfortunately, the loss of public financing, which it's not just public financing of parties, it's also public financing of judicial races. I mean, this has actually is causing quite the privatization of democracy in our state. And what we are focused on, and that is in our discussions with Kay Hagan as well, is that the North Carolina Democratic Party is focusing on reorganizing based on the circumstances as they are now, not what they were 10 years ago or 5 years ago. They have to be based on the circumstances now with the revenues coming in and how to use our resources wisely. And that's not just physical capital, you know, money, assets, but it's social capital, cultural capital, human capital. How do we bring all of these resources into play to use them wisely in order to ensure victory for Kay Hagan as well as for all the other Democrats on the ballot?
I wonder how PAC money and the changing landscape of particularly national money coming into a state has changed everything for all state organizations in terms of where the money comes from. You used to run around digging little wells and getting money that way. Now the money's pouring in from other sources. How has that changed things for you?
The Democratic parties across the country are suffering from the landmark Citizens United case. They absolutely are. Dark money has really poisoned our democracy, and it's not just the Democratic Party who is suffering, but it's political parties across the country. It is putting us in a perilous situation where it is no longer the folks who are the party faithful, the party, the voters who are having a voice in what happens in these campaigns, but they are incredibly large, powerful, financially powerful entities that are pushing forth an agenda that may be very contrary to the will of the people.
Michael Bitzer, what's the effect, do you think? You heard Casey refer to it as dark money. In part, it's because it's hard to track exactly where it all comes from. What's the impact that it's having?
Well, I mean, certainly we're going to see a flood of money come into this state and into the very few competitive races that we have, not just for the U.S. Senate, but for the U.S. House. But I think, you know, the starting point was indeed Citizens United, but we are, I think, just at the tipping point and the real front level of what we're probably going to see into the future, because more and more people can see the activities of folks like the Koch brothers and others on the left as well, coming in and really operating a separate campaign strategy. Granted, they are not coordinating with the candidate's campaign itself, but they are certainly filling in gaps and things that influence ultimately how voters are seeing a particular election be pursued. I mean, Americans for Prosperity has spent a lot of money while the Republicans are basically trying to figure out who their nominee is going to be to go up against Kay Hagan. They have kind of filled in that void, filled in the vacuum, and continued to hit Kay Hagan on things like Obamacare. So I think the kind of capitalization that we're seeing in our campaign certainly is going to be with us for some time to come.
Yeah, Laura, Michael makes a point here that the Koch brothers and others, you know, who are pouring in money are having an impact on the right as well. The Republicans are having. So talk about that sort of on the ground, what you're seeing is the impact of this money.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, over and above the money that's, you know, the big money pouring in, you know, which everybody's paying a lot of attention to, one thing that I think we need to pay a little bit more attention to, as Casey had mentioned earlier, is the cutting out of the smaller money. And that is what I mean is the tax checkoff. And that was a move by legislators in this past year, in the 2013 session, to remove that little, remember when you get your tax return, there's always that little box where you can check to donate $3 of your taxes to either the party of your choice or to whichever party, you know.
Right.
That money used to go to the parties to basically finance those operational costs, right? And anybody who's ever worked in a nonprofit knows operating costs are about the hardest thing to finance,
right?
People don't like to give you money to run the office.
Right.
They want to give you money for a candidate.
So go ahead.
But let me just say, with that in mind, you know, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party both taking a hit because that is no longer in effect here in North Carolina. But, of course, the party that's in power is going to find it more easier to raise money to sort of make up for that loss. The Democrats are having a more difficult time. However, I do want to point out one thing. While we're talking about donors being hard to find, that is true in part, but both of the legislative caucuses, the Democratic House Caucus and the Democratic Senate Caucus, who are raising money for lawmakers' races, are having the best cycle they've had in four cycles this year. So it's not that the donors are not out there. They may be more difficult to find, but they are giving money, but it's not going to the party.
Well, so let me ask you that, Casey, about the role then of the party. I mean, if people certainly must be interested, if you're a Democrat and you're in this condition and you're active, you must want to give money. You don't need a checkoff to give your dollar to a campaign. You know, are state parties becoming extinct? Do we need a state party anymore?
I think we do need a state party. If one of the things, there are many things that state parties do, and one of the most important things that we do is that we have, in North Carolina, we have 100 county parties. And in order to coalesce, in order to provide resources, training, understanding of election law, voter protection things, all of these things, and this connection to the DNC and the National Democratic Party, that is actually what the state parties real role is in support of these local parties who handle, you know, county commissioner races and legislative races, and they are really the manpower on the ground. And if you have these 100 loosely, you know, these different organizations that do not have one organization to coalesce with, you have a lot of these separate entities. And so it kind of, there's a need in order to make sure there is a unification of resources to get out to them, as well as a conduit of information from the national party system as well.
I'm just wondering the effect this has. If the complaint from the dissident voices now in the Democratic Party is they don't want to hear Randy Voller talk about the issues, leave that to them. What does that mean if national money is coming in tied to very, very much to issues and interests that are tied to that money? How much control does the state party and those candidates, how much do they give up by accepting that money? Or is that not an issue?
If
money comes in from outside the state, that money comes with strings attached. That comes from interests that want to see their interests promoted in the state, and it may or may not be an electable issue. If you're in the hemp industry, you might want to see legalized marijuana, and I don't, you know, we understand that conservative Democrats don't want you to talk about that.
Well, the real issue for the North Carolina Democratic Party is to stand with the people. And frankly, the major issues for the people of North Carolina is the gutting of education by the Tom Tillis Tea Party machine, right? And the ending of Medicaid, the expansion of Medicaid, ending of unemployment benefits, voter suppression. These are the real issues that regardless of the label that you have, liberal, moderate, Republican, unaffiliated, these are all actual issues that people really do care about. And those are the foundational issues and values that the Democratic Party has been promoting quite strongly.
I think Casey is right on that in terms of, you know, that the voters don't care about the party infighting. You know, I mean, voters really, what they care about is the issues, and that's what the party, every party has to focus on, right, is what matters to voters. The issue here, I think, is just that there's been so much infighting in the party that some feel like there hasn't been enough done outwardly, right, to reach out to those voters and talk to them about the issues. And so I know, when you were picked, I think you're one of the first North Carolina people, right, to be the executive director in quite a while, and there are a lot of folks in the party who really believe that that Casey is going to be the right person for the pick simply because you have that connection to the state. You've been in the field here for 10 years.
Well, Michael Bitzer, getting back to the organization, are state parties, do you think, becoming extinct? Is the fact of this, particularly the amounts of money coming in from outside sources, are we going to see some kind of reorganization in the next couple of cycles?
Well, certainly state parties and national parties and even county and local parties have gone through transition periods, transformation periods before. Really what Casey was hitting on, I think, is the key component to what political parties are nowadays, and that is service and resource organizations. What we have is a system of electoral politics where it's basically candidate-centered systems. The candidates drive a lot of the organization. The candidates drive a lot of the messaging. And what we have generally tended to see, not just in North Carolina, but in other states, is those state parties become service organizations, help with grassroots activities, help with the infrastructure, provide those kinds of resources that candidates can then draw upon. What we tend to see is a difference between the issue focus, perhaps the more ideological focus that perhaps some grassroots activists within the party want to see, and the realities of electoral focus that these candidates, whether they are in office now or whether they are seeking the office, have to deal with. And there can be the tension between the two.
I want to thank you all for being on the program. Michael Bitzer, a political columnist for WFAE and a professor of politics and history at Catawba College. Michael, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Laura Leslie, always a pleasure, Capitol Bureau Chief
thank
for
you.
WRAL, and Casey Mann, Executive Director of the North Carolina Democratic Party. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up on the State of Things, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, we've got bagpipes and drums, the Wake and District Public Safety Pipes and Drums, live on the State of Things. Stay tuned.